Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Today, I'm Michael Walker on the call. Oh my God, we have technical difficulties.
Hello, you are. I am here.
Hey, Michael.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. We had some technical difficulties, and I found the phone number, which is I'd like to give it out to people if you're good with that. It's 424-243-9540. Feel free to give us a buzz. We are live in the Northwest at 7 o'clock straight. It's now, according to my clock, 2 minutes after 7. And if you're in the East, it's 10. So thank you for staying up with us. In the West, it's 7 o'clock. And so please feel free to give us a buzz. So first of all, hello, Sean. And I'm sorry we had technical difficulties with the link that you sent me, but then I was like, I can figure a way out. And this day is the last couple of hours of my less than 55th year of my life. And then tomorrow starts a new chapter of 56. God willing, make it through the whole day. Thank you very much. And it's been a pleasure doing the radio show with you during this time. So we have a couple things. We have a part of the show that we recorded earlier which happens to be the love of my life. Her name is Emily Rogers, and with Sean and them did an interview, so we'll show that with you later. The other thing is, I want to tell you about a new device that I'm using that's unreal. Makes me be able to read when I have never been able to read very well at all. So that's the scoop of that. And just talk about other things that we've been doing in the last couple of weeks.
Three other people on the line.
Oh, sweet. So, all right, go for it.
If any of the people want to say something, you are able to. If you want to introduce yourself. But you don't have to.
If you just want to listen, that's great. How would you like to proceed, my friend?
I have nobody to pick up.
Okay.
Number of people now, if anybody wants to say anything, you are able to. So go ahead, Mike.
Well, I just wanted to talk about the iCam. OrCam, it's a device that I've gotten for a couple of months now through my office, through the Division of Development Disabilities for a Reasonable Accommodation. It gives me the ability to read. You scan it, and it basically reads it in your ear. And that's the easiest way to describe it. It was made out of a company out of Israel. It's unthinking believable. First time I used it, I bawled, I cried. I never believed, I never thought I could read stuff, and pretty much I can read anything as long as it's typed. I can read the screen, a computer screen, without JAWS. I do use it, but it's pretty impressive. Now, there's a conference coming up in Wenatchee in Washington. If, I know we're all over the place on the radio, and we're grateful for that. But if you're going to be in Wenatchee, I will be in Wenatchee at the, it's called the Summit. For 15 or 20 minutes. Is it Wenatchee, right?
Yeah,
that's where
we'll
go. It's called Community Summit. Yeah, I want to make sure I got the city right. And I will be there for all through the conference showing it, showing them this great, awesome, beautiful device that we were able to find and purchase. So if you're going to be around, I'll be glad to show it to you. And I am working on trying to figure out how to get them to be a guest on the show. And working with, I'll be working with Sean in a couple of weeks to try to figure out how to get a hold of them so we can get a person from them to be on the show and talk about their glasses or their device. I call them glasses because you hook them on to my glasses, but they're not glasses. They're I wish in some ways, Sean, we could look at how do we show them a device, but because it's a radio show, it's hard to tell you. Basically,
yeah.
It's a small camera that hooks onto your glasses. And it's very, very slick is not the right word, but I can't think of another one. It's liberating, for sure. And changed my life, you know, possibility of changing my life. Like, can do different things, like read. Things that most people take for granted. That's going well.
Do they have a website, Michael?
Yeah, I can. I don't know if I can do it with on the phone without losing you. That's my only problem. But I can send that to you. It's called OrCam, and I can. I'll send you that, and you can see. Let me see if I don't. Hopefully, I won't lose you. But I'll try to do that.
Oh, man.
If I do lose you, just know that I'll be calling you back in.
Oh, yeah. Jamie, did you want to do something?
Sure. Yeah, hi. This is Jamie Bowen. Do you know John Indy? Community
Summit,
is that also virtual, or is it only
in
person?
That is in virtual, too.
Okay. When was it? I forgot what the date is.
It's next Tuesday, the 13th to the 15th.
Okay, is it on the
Arch
website?
Yeah, I will put the website, babe. What do you do is you type community summit.wf, and I will type that in.
I do not, but the older I get, I don't remember everything these days. But Sean, I did send you the link of what I got, and if you can describe it better, then go for it. But they make more than just this device, but that's the device I have. The device is about $5,000. Yes, it's expensive, but I will flat out tell you it changed my life. It's like buying a car is expensive, but, you know, that's how we get around. So I would definitely say it's worth it. We'll find out if I can figure a way to get OrCam. And it's O-R... C-A-M, and then there's a space, small space, M-Y-C, I'm sorry, E like an elephant, Y as in a Yankee, E again. It's unreal, and I can't wait to show it to folks, so hopefully that will help. And hopefully we can figure a way to get them to be on the show.
That would be awesome, Mike.
Yeah, we're working on it. I mean, that would be really cool. So we're working on that. And then, like I said, if you're going to be a local, if you're in local and you're Eastern Washington, next Wednesday is when I'll be at the table. But I'll be around wearing them off through the whole time. So that's what I got on that. The other thing that I got thinking about other things that we've been going through our session is over in Washington State, legislative session. My wife, Sean, I know this is an international show, but has done something amazing. Just got a new job as a public policy director. I'm so proud of her. So that's the new thing in our family, everything is pretty good. I did something nuts recently. On a fun note, went to the beach this weekend with a friend of ours and soaked up some rays and flied a kite and looked at the waves and said, how life is so sweet. So. It was good for my soul. I've enjoyed, I also work for the Seattle Mariners, and I've enjoyed a couple weeks off, with God's grace, I'll be able to finish the season, and we'll figure out what we're going to do next year,
go ahead. Not every weekend, but the weekend before. I went out to Delicom, and it was really fun.
Cool.
So that was a lot of fun. Going to the Pacific Ocean, but it's pretty cool.
One thing I have noticed on the ride down last, we got back on Sunday. Our state is gorgeous. It really is, and it's a national state park that I went to called Gordon. And it was unreal. And I would highly recommend it to any Washingtonian that has never been. It is gorgeous. And that's no understatement. I was blown away by it, actually. And hopefully sometime this summer, if I can find a friend or two to help me get back there. I would love to go back before the end of the summer is over. because it's good for my soul. I don't generally say it that way, but it was good all the way down. I did do something crazy that I've not talked to Sean about yet. We did stay there, and we stayed in a castle. I don't know if I told you this, Sean. I don't think so. It was crazy because it was not very accessible, and a complete stranger helped me get in and get down and get all that, because I would literally walk, for those who don't know me, because this is a radio show, I have cerebral palsy and I don't walk. So they were carrying me or giving me letting me use my legs, and they were basically my crutches. I mean, they were using a human being as crutches, so to get up the stairs and those kind of things. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that opportunity. And then I could, then I flew a kite that weekend. But getting up the castle, that was something else. I went and Bailey's Irish Cream afterwards because I needed something. It's just a my heart rate was going nuts. Yeah, my friend and me, we had a blast. And it was really worth the effort to go there. The most beautiful, it's been the most beautiful ride I've been in a long, long time. So I would highly recommend the state of Washington if you haven't ever been here before. And on the coast, it is gorgeous. So, like I said, I'm hoping somebody can say, let's do that again before the summer's over. Maybe we could do it early fall when the weather gets bad.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
But it was unreal. So I'm working on that. And one of the other thing I wanted to talk about on a different subject altogether is in Washington, we call it IPs, individual providers. I talked to Sean about maybe doing a series on that, trying to figure out how to find good ones, how to find good folks. And first of all, if you are an IP, I'd love to talk to you about how we make your life better. Because with you, we could, you know, you're in my mind, you're like extended hands. Without your help, you know, it's harder to do things or not. Are impossible to do things. So I would like to do a series on how do we make it better. And so we'll work on that and different things like that and maybe have a few guests that are IP so we can get an idea of what you're looking for when you're hiring an IP. Again, an that stands for an individual provider. So I just would, and I would talk to Sean about maybe doing a series on that. And we'll see how far they fly.
Maybe I can back my own and I'll be able to do that. We'll be.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to do, and I have talked to a friend of ours about it, and is I'm going to talk, I have diabetes, and maybe we can do a session or two on that. This is because it affects so many people with disabilities, with any, you know, all kinds of people all over the place. And if we can help, I'd be glad to. So I my belief is that if I have it, I'm going to make it a positive thing, and I do have it. So if I can help somebody along the way, please, I hope that God will let me do that. So I'm going to work on that.
I also have
a friend that knows medical stuff really well. And so I've asked her to be considered to be a guest on the show. So, an organization's offered to be set up a self-advocacy group that talks about diabetes. We're pretty much wide open. If you want to talk about it, we're open for it. So, that's it on my end. What do you think of what I'm thinking about, and what do you think about?
Yeah, I think we need to
to individual providers.
Yeah.
And also agencies, because a lot of people have to work with agencies too.
Yeah.
I was going to tell people I didn't know it bothered you, but I went to Sunnyside. So that is by Cambridge Bay, the big golf course. And it was very beautiful out there. I went to two different areas. I went to the other area. They all overlook the golf course. And it's beautiful because you can see the golf course and the bay. And you can walk for, you know, several miles on the PE path. So I would recommend that to everybody. It's between Tacoma and Olympia.
Oh, cool. So, I would definitely, maybe we could make a trip about that. Do you want to talk about the ice show at all?
Oh, yeah, we would do it. Hanging your eyes.
We hang out after the show. Forget it. This is my brother from it. I would basically call him my brother from another mother. So, pretty close.
Yeah. I think we both had a lot of fun at the ice cream, though. I've been to Seattle. And climbing Blend Arena.
Yeah, which is basically brand new and where the old T Arena used to be, and they rebuilt it, and it's absolutely, would you say, awesome? Right.
Yeah, and I...
That's my buddy Guy.
Yeah, it's working enough. But actually, the perfect location where you have a table and an older looking arena. So I think we have to go back for hockey and other stuff.
Yeah, we will. That's our next mission, is to go back for hockey. To take you out hockey game. And I have somebody in
mind.
My sister. She's like,
yeah. And that's how people know they have lots of food there. They have lots and lots of food.
Yeah.
So you won't go hungry. I know you were worried about food. But when we got there, they had a little bit of everything at the arena.
I think we had, if I remember, chicken strips. It was delicious. And so.
I didn't do Pepsi there, but I was happy.
So, it's been Veterans Day, the last part of May. Wanted to say to all the veterans, thank you for serving our country. And Memorial Day, excuse me, I had the wrong one, but anybody who served in the military, any branch, thank you so much. I don't take any of this stuff for granted. So freedom doesn't. It doesn't come easy, and it's not free. So thank you.
We're thanking all the military families.
Yes,
for the service, for the family members who allow their family members to go away for several years, and for some people, they don't come back when they're really bad. But we need to remember them at all times.
I'm just grateful. Let's see what else. What do we want to talk about?
I will be having a little bit of the community summer. I need to do two different things.
Okay.
I need to be on the panel for the Nothing About It to Dollar Bill. We can give people with disabilities a voice, a better voice. And I also need to... Oh, go ahead.
No, I didn't realize there was going to be a panel, so that's great. So I will do my damnedest to be there for that.
And the people are coming to town. It will be on Tuesday at 3 p.m.
Oh, okay, Tuesday. Yeah, I'll be there for that. I can be there for that.
I will be.
In fact, I believe we're going to make sure we're there for that. Isn't Emily going to be there for that as well?
If they want,
Yeah. That's one of the things. We were trying to get there early. So, we'll be there for that. And,
I will be there.
We might be able to write some things about, that's just a thought I just had when you said that. Some pieces of the show, use pieces of it there as well. So.
I need to go to Leavenworth the day before, so I will be there early in spring time. For people that don't know.
Bring me some schnitzel, my friend. Bring me some schnitzel.
For people that don't know, Leavenworth is a very interesting town.
German town for on other side of the state.
And it's beautiful. I'm going to be there for the enjoyable vacation.
So you're
going
over on
what?
You're going over on Monday? You're going over a week
from today? I'm going to be there today. Monday.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's great.
But that would be fun. Maybe I'll just stop in the Christmas store. They have a Christmas store.
Well, what did you do that place? We'll have to figure that out. I hear there's a train there, maybe. I don't know. I can't remember, but I think so.
I also will be introducing different speakers at the summer school. And I need to say a little bit during the opening to the Bower Meeting, talking about helping people live in a community better, though. I'm happy about that. So, I'm also going to volunteer for our in the Jack Lab.
I'm also working on guardianship stuff. Tomorrow, I'm going to take tomorrow off and I'm not dealing with it, but there's a committee meeting tomorrow about that. I just wanted to enjoy my day of celebrating my birthday. So I'm not doing anything really except to basically eat and watch a movie. We'll let you know what we're going to do at how the summit went, and then other things that are happening after that. look at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I already have three people ask me about the people first convention. And I'm like, hold on. Let me
let's just put it I'm going because of my job, and I'm grateful for that opportunity. It's also capped. By capped, I mean that there's, I believe it's 250 is the max. So if you haven't got a room yet, I would work on that. But I hear you about waiting for a bit. But I kind of like push my boss a little bit to say, we got to make sure we get a room because it is Ellensburg. So anyway, that's the scoop of that. And matter of fact, I'm going to start thinking about transportation soon to get there.
Do you have any final words before we go to the interview tonight with Emily?
I would really like to know if you like the show or not. We've asked a few times, did it work? We think we're doing okay, but we would like to really know what you think and what if you could, you know, maybe we just do one show and see if somebody would call in next month. Oh, I just remember next month will be the 5th, right, Sean? July 5th.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Probably.
The day of July.
Maybe around the 4th.
The 4th?
Yeah. The 4th. I don't know.
Maybe we could tape it or something or whatever. Because I'm going to be gone. Just thinking about that. So we'll figure it out.
We will have something to say for all of you. On the phone.
Yeah. So tonight we're live. It's about 7:33 in the West. But next month, most likely, we will not be live because it'll be the 4th of July. So we'll have it done before that. I'm glad we thought of that. To be truthful, I just thought about it 30 seconds ago. We'll have to do that. we'll talk to you live. That would be August. we'll be live in August.
Yeah, we'll be live in August.
Yeah, we'll be
online. Now I'll be ready for the guest.
Yeah. So thank you for being on tonight, and hope you enjoy Emily Rogers. Full disclosure, she is my wife, and I'm a little bit prejudiced, love her to pieces. So hopefully you enjoy the interview with Sean and my counterpart and my wife, Emily Rogers. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you live next month, but we'll have something on the air next month on the 4th of July. So everybody, happy birthday, America, and please be good to yourself.
I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. Here is my interview with Emily Warner.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our interview with Emily Rogers, Michael's better half. Today we invited
Emily to talk a little bit about her life in the community. So, welcome, Emily, to No More BS.
Hi, I'm glad to be here today.
Yeah, but what is it? Because I was expecting of people's life. How long have you known Michael?
So I have known Michael for, well, in September we will have been married for 21 years, and we knew each other for 2 years before we got married, so so that 23-ish years almost, so
yeah,
that's pretty incredible, pretty wild for sure.
And you both live in Liverpool, all Olympia, London. So how do you like living in Olympia?
Well, it's kind of funny because when I lived in Seattle, sort of before I got going in advocacy and everything, it's funny now to think about it because I used to say, well, I don't even know what goes on in Olympia. Like, I don't even know why in the world I would even want to move there. Like, I don't get that at all. And and it's funny to think about it now because my entire career has been, like, you know, around something to have to do with Olympia and with what goes on here in Olympia. And so it's just crazy, you know, sometimes you don't know how your life is going to turn out. And that is definitely true with me. I had no idea. We're talking, I had no clue about legislative advocacy and what goes on in the process of legislative advocacy. And I was lucky enough to have really knowledgeable people in my life and really knowledgeable people who were willing to spend time with me and with us as a group and help us to understand what happens here in Olympia and why it's really important to engage with legislators and why it's really important to make our voices heard. And now, I mean, I can't even imagine not being involved in some way. And so it's just pretty wild for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was similar. I did not know anything. I knew a little bit about how we can be there before I got in the field. Oh boy, it's a whole different road.
Yeah.
So when did you first learn about the state legislative process?
When I first learned about the disability field, because I found a three line little tiny advertisement in the Seattle Times for a job at the Arc of King County. And I literally had no idea what was what the ARC was, what the ARC did. I had no idea. I thought that when I graduated from college that I would work for the health department, that I would do health education, that I would, you know, engage with people in that way. And then I found a little tiny ad in the Seattle Times, and now, you know, it's not at all the way people find jobs, but that was my entrance into the disability advocacy field. And my first job in working for the ARC of King County was an administrative support job, and I really loved that job. I was able to help all of the people of the ARC and then also engage with all the clients and get to know all the clients, which was like one of the coolest parts of that job. They at that time had just a bunch of people who would come and sit around the lobby of the ARC and like shoot the breeze and like, you know, I mean, just have really interesting conversations, and I would get to engage with all of them and really start to understand, like, from people themselves, you know, where they were coming from. And so it was a really great way to start to understand all the parts to the advocacy movement, because here I was working with a lot of people who, like historically had been working in the movement, and then, you know, and then also like just getting to know all of these people who had spent time in institutions and had moved out into the community and how much they loved their new, you know, their apartments. And I mean, it was just a really cool way to be introduced to all these ideas. And then from there, I started, at that time, like, self-advocacy was, like, a new thing. And so the ARC of King County got some money to do self-advocacy work. And so I applied for that job, and I got that promotion. And then I thought that one of the things that I really wanted to help people to understand was, you know, how to engage in Olympia and what that meant. And so we had an accessible van at the ARC at that time, and we would like load up everybody who wanted to come along, and we would take everybody down to Olympia every Wednesday and come down for advocacy day and, you know, and get people engaged in that way. And so, and then at that time also was when SAIL, was just getting started, and Ed Holen and others, like, you know, we're like, well, do you want to come and be a part of this meeting? We're thinking of doing these new things. And so why don't you come and, you know, sit around this table and we can figure out what our next steps are, type of thing. And so that's how SAIL really got started. And so I started out as the first chair of SAIL in for the first 4 years of SAIL's existence. I was the chair, and I worked for the ARC of King County at that time. And Greer Jewell was really instrumental in helping us get, like, the whole, you know, idea of where we wanted to go in terms of, like, helping everybody to understand about the legislative process. And so then, you know, after that, that time was when the ARC of Washington was, you know, they started to be really interested in having an administrator that had a disability, which made a lot of sense to me. And and then I you know, at that time too was when we were sort of thinking about, oh, well, we really should, like, buy a house or get something else going on for our own selves. And it turned out that, you know, Seattle prices were just way too high and way out of control. And I didn't really want to live in South Seattle, and I didn't really want to live in, like, you know, some random place in in Seattle that maybe we could afford, but I knew that we needed to live in a place that had good transportation and had, you know, things that we needed. And so it turned out that I got the job at the Arch of Washington at that point. And then we ended up moving down here after we'd lived in Kenmore for a couple of years after we got married. And they were gracious enough to let me like spend a little bit of time in limbo land, where I would come to Advocacy Day all the way from Kenmore, and which is, if you're not familiar with this state, but it's like north of Seattle, so it's a really long way to come for Advocacy Day. So I'd stay in a hotel for one night during the week, and then I'd go to Advocacy Day, and then I'd go back home. And finally, with our lease on our apartment expired, and so then we were able to move down here and lived in an apartment for some time, two or three years, I forget. But, it's all kind of knit together. The whole, you know, all of the parts are sort of knit together in a funny way.
It's the one thing, and then that led to another thing, and that led to another thing.
Yeah.
It's very similar to how I got involved after having the temple as well. And I, for you, it would be awesome. But for me, it would be tempted for independent living.
Yeah.
Which I kind of similar to what we both see. That led me to one of my participants who told me about sale, and sale led me to the development of this way.
Yeah.
So it's funny how the little step is keeps going and going.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, it just, well, I'm a person of faith, and so I really believe that, that it's how God wanted it to turn out, because there's really no other way that I would have even known about this world and about this advocacy journey and about helping all sorts of people get involved. But it makes me happy because I really know that, that we all have a purpose and we all have a reason for being together in this endeavor, you know? And it's interesting to see how it's evolved over time and how things have gotten stronger and gotten, you know, more refined over the time. I truly believe that we can, you know, we can still improve by leaps and bounds, and we can still make even more positive changes that people can come more into their own, you know, their own voices in terms of advocacy and in terms of like how people want their lives to be and what they want their lives to look like. And you know, I want to see all of that get stronger and for people to really learn that these things are possible, even though, you know, in the systems that we have, it's sometimes difficult, but
yeah.
Um,
oh, wow.
Well, I want to thank you for being here to tell me. Tell us about your African people. I do want to back out because you and me have been coming out in both into Central Washington University. So how did you decide to go to CWU? How was it?
So I decided to go to CWU because I had gone to a very small technical school with a very outdated and politically incorrect name called the Resource Center for the Handicapped. And it was a tiny technical school that I learned a lot about computer applications, and I learned a lot about how to run computers, which was really key during that time. And the best thing I learned, though, was how to type with one hand on a special keyboard called Dvorak for the right hand. And so I graduated from that program, and then I decided I really want to go to college. Like, I sort of always had known that I wanted to go to college. I lived in a family where the expectation was that you would go to college. And so that's how I felt, that I would just go to college. And so I remember we went, I forget if it was like my dad and my mom, or it could have just been my mom, I'm not sure. But we went to Western, and we went to Central, I think. And the thing that made me interested in Central in particular was their real focus on having really good accommodations for folks with disabilities. And that was the thing that, you know, I was like, this is great. Like, I'm really happy that they've thought a lot about this. I'm really happy that I don't need to, like, reinvent the wheel. I mean, there's specific things that I knew that I wanted that didn't seem like it was difficult for them. Like, I wanted books on tape, and I wanted, like, a note taker, and I wanted, you know, I mean, so there's specific things that for them wasn't a big deal. Plus, I knew that they had specific accommodations for things like when it snowed and what you were going to do, you know, like, to get to class when it snowed, and that they would move the snow out of your way if they knew your schedule. And so I didn't have to be concerned with, you know, how do I move all this snow out of the way so I can get to class on time for the thing. And so it just made a lot of sense, to me. And I really enjoyed it. I was, I'm not really a partier. I don't do that. And so I had a Christian group that I belonged to, and really all my friends came from the Chi Alpha Christian group. And we just were like a family, and I came with all my friends to everything we did. All the crazy things we did, and all the concerts we went to, and all the, you know, we'd go out in the middle of the night and get Slurpees, and I mean, like, we just did stupid stuff that, you know, makes you have good memories in the end. And and so we but they were my family, and they helped me learn a lot and feel accepted as a person with a disability. None of the people in my friend group at college had disabilities. I was the only one. But I felt you know, like I was part of a group. And so it was great fun. And interestingly, it's funny to think back on that time because there was a whole part of the college campus that didn't have good accessibility, like a whole building, a whole section of a building. And I remember walking in, and it was like there was a bed in the bathroom, and so I couldn't go to the bathroom. I don't understand why there's a bed in the bathroom. Like, what is this? And so they had to move the bed, of course, so I could go to the bathroom. But then also, like, on the outside in the building, I remember it was totally brick. There was nothing but brick in this building. And all of the professors' offices were up, like, four stairs to visit with the professors. I don't remember which one it was. But what ended up happening is there ended up being a whole thing that happened where I worked with, like, some film students, and we took videos of all the places that were not accessible in this building, and it ended up that the video that we took was played in front of the Appropriations Committee, and the school got a huge grant to fix all the problems that we mentioned in the video. And it's funny to me to think about it now, because at that time, like, I had no, I mean, all I knew was, like, what needed fixing, you know? I didn't know, like, who needed to know about it. I didn't know anything about the structure outside of, you know, hello, everybody, this is what needs to happen here, you know? And so, and then to think about, you know, everything that came afterwards and all of the advocacy that came afterwards. And it started out with this video that ended up getting this huge appropriation for them to fix all of these accessibility issues. And so it's funny to think about that now, because it didn't feel like a super big deal at the time. But I do remember, like, why is there a bed in the bathroom? I don't get this.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit. I do know, because I made a video out to you, and I need to work now, and I believe you and people that you were around. So I did a lot of stuff doing that, but because when I was in disability support, it was pretty big, and they had a lot of bad and disability advocacy groups that worked on all those issues.
Yeah.
Now I think almost three-fourths of the building have been remodeled or made brand new, but
oh, I'm sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure I don't even recognize, like, a bunch of the, you know, a bunch of the architecture there now, for sure. But
I found out my sociology department moved to a new building.
Okay.
I live in Fail Hall in the back hall of the building.
I lived in Wilson Hall for my first year, and then I lived at North Hall, and I had my own room for all those years. It was great. I mean, it was really good. I remember when I was first a freshman, I had a I had a roommate for a bit of time, but then it ended up that we were so different that she ended up moving out and moving with a bunch of other people, and it ended up to be okay. But, I mean, we got along okay, but it wasn't like we were fast friends or anything. But, anyway.
I'm really good here. I thought you were one of the people that family. You want to say something to Emily? No. Okay. All right. Well, I have one last question to you. All I am going to ask you to do is, I thought I'd ask you a good development to do. If you can modify three things in a thing, what would they be? What if you win? What three issues would you say are the most important for people to know about?
I mean, I think just sitting here, there's a couple of issues. One is that I really think it's super important that we think about individualized services, like, and how we can think in terms of how to provide services in an individual way with potentially individualized budgets. And, like, this isn't a new idea. Like, other states do this. And so it often feels like, you know, when we start talking about ideas that, like, we're the first to think about it. But, like, the truth is that individualized budgets and, you know, having an individualized plan for each person is not, like, a new idea. And it's really, it's really frustrating to me that we still live in a place that is, you know, putting people into little tiny slots in the service system where people figure they can fit. When in all reality, like, what we should actually be talking about is, like, what kinds of services and supports are really going to work for you as a person instead of, you know, how it is. How we fit into a tiny thing in the service system. And I mean, I've had so many conversations over the years with people asking, why is this such a hard thing for people to sort of get their heads around? And I still don't know it. I still don't understand why it is, but I really feel like in order to adequately support, you know, like, I guess more than adequately support people in a way that makes sense for individuals, we have to start thinking about, you know, talking to the individuals and seeing what would work for them. And that's not, it's a pet peeve of mine, to be truthful, because it's not something that people feel like super, super excited to talk about. But, like, that's how we're going to get people the support they need to be able to successfully live in the community. Right. Yeah. We're not going to get them the supports they need by creating some weird service delivery that doesn't make sense for them as an individual and hoping that we can, like, make it into something that it's not. No. In order for people to successfully live in the community, we need for them to get, like, what they actually need so that they can actually be successful. And then people won't come back and say, well, I told you that this person couldn't live in the community. No, the thing is that, like, you didn't talk to them as individuals or the people that love them and care about them and figure out, okay, here's what we need in order for them to live a good life in the community. Because the thing is I don't want people to be like, well, you know, they couldn't be supported, and so they're not going to be supported well, and so that's why we still need the institutions. Well, that to me is, anyways, it's just not true. It's not true. But if you can't, like, get your head around how to provide services in an individualized way for people with super complex needs, you're not going to be successful. And then the other thing that I spend a lot of time thinking about is how to help people get the kinds of like consistent quality support that they need in the community so that there isn't, you know, this ongoing issue with people leaving and people coming, and it's so disruptive and it's so stressful and it's so it's just so incredibly hard to help people to be successful and, you know, have the kind of support they need, like physical support, but then, like, if someone's not going to be around for only a bit of time, emotionally, that literally messes with people in a way that is terribly upsetting and traumatic. And it's like, why, you know, I mean, we just need to think more strategically about how to help people stay within this field for longer, help to support people better, yeah. Help to, you know, help to be a stability in the community rather than the fleeting workforce that's here today and gone tomorrow. And I feel like if we can get our heads around how to help that to happen, I mean, in the past, we have, and if you think back to, like, when I first started in this work and a number of other people, I mean, people just have, you know, done different jobs over the years and been a part of this community and worked in support roles for years and years and years and years and years and done all kinds of different supporting roles for years. But in order to, like, have that longevity, we have to figure out how to keep people and what would make them stay for longer than 20 minutes, you know, longer than, like, just a second. And so there's that, and I spend a lot of time thinking about, like, what would be something that would be enticing to people and, you know, would be a reason to stay in a job or even in the field, like, because people, even if you change a spot in, you know, even if you change a seat around the same table, you're still there and you can still provide some stability and some, you know, clarity in terms of, like, I've been here for over 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm not necessarily going to be moving into a different field, but I'm going to be sitting in a different chair, but people know me, right? I go to advocacy day. I go to a rally and people are like, hey, by the way, do you know what's happening? And like next time, like this past time, I was like, I didn't bring my papers. Okay. Like I didn't bring all the information. The next time I know that people will ask me all those questions because I have sat around the same table for the last 20 years and they figure if anybody knows what's going on, it's probably her. So I need to like bring some information next time. That's what I learned. And then for the third topic, I would probably say something around crisis stabilization and how important it is to really double down with the crisis stabilization. And the folks that are really, really struggling and the folks that don't have the kind of support they need, again, to be in the community and the people that are getting dropped off at hospitals. I mean, that's incredibly tragic.
That's part of the reason we are going to find it. It's because we don't have enough support.
Right.
And Holland, your father.
Yep.
America did a lot. So we waited to a last minute to do something and blow up.
I mean, and so I just feel like we need to think about the crisis stabilization in a different way and how, you know, how those supports are given and in terms of the person, but also in terms of the family, because the thing is that the family is always going to be like, well, at least in a number of ways, the number one supporter of the person, right? Like they're going to be that for those people for that person. And so we need to like figure out how to support the person, but then how to support the family so that they don't have to be in this limbo land place of, you know, everything's okay today, but maybe it won't be okay tomorrow in terms of like, you know, really shoring up some of the agencies and giving them like rate increases potentially, or, you know, some way to ensure that no matter what happens, they're going to be able to support people adequately and not be doing crazy stuff like dropping people off. I mean, that to me is so hard to comprehend. Like, it's just hard to see how that's a viable option ever, like for someone who is already stressed and already, you know, has a lot of, I mean, probably behaviors, which is communication, probably, you know, a whole lot of things going on. And then instead of working with, you know, maybe specialists or maybe people who have more clear understanding of what they might need, or, you know, bringing in people with expertise or bringing in people with even a creative thought about what might work. We just decide to drop people off at the hospital. Like, that's insane to me. I don't get how that's appropriate. Anyway, so those are kind of my three things. Just sitting here.
I think all that three very important. We need a ball for the Zuko in the stadium for the Zuko people. I mean, thank you, Emily, for coming tonight and speaking to us. And, And next time, we are going back to Michael.